You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I'm so glad for the privilege to come around and share the word this morning. I truly believe this word is going to bless you. It's going to impact your life and it's going to impact those around you. So let's come around the word, hey? So for those who don't know, over the last year or so, I've developed a love of multi-day hiking and camping. Actually, my friend Rachel has been inspirational in giving me some tips and guides around this. I have a group of friends who I've gone on a few different multi-day hikes with. We've been to places like the Grampians, we've been to Halls Gap, and we're looking at maybe going to Wilson's Prom, just a few different places around the state. And during these hikes, we've encountered a series of challenges. The challenges of going uphill for an extended period of time. The challenge of going downhill with less than youthful knees. Now, personally, give me uphill any day. The knees don't like downhill at all. The challenge of toenails coming off. The challenge of blisters on your feet. The challenge of upset tummies from drinking creek water. Real things, all real things. The challenge of being sweaty, dirty, smelly all together in a small confined place because you haven't showered for 2 or 3 days. If you've been camping, Parsley Outdoor Teacher knows all about this, Rach, you know. The challenges of camping and hiking are real. See, we've seen some tough circumstances, but we've navigated them together and broke through each and every one of these challenging circumstances. Through all these, we've built our mental fortitude that, like, you know, yeah, we can do it again. You know, it was hard to have that upset tummy. Not me, but someone else, but we'll do it again. We've built our trust and we've built a strong bond and a camaraderie between us from being through those hardships, I suppose, during the hikes. Perhaps you've had to break through something in a different way. Perhaps you've had to navigate some challenging family situations that through going through that together, it built a strong bond with your family. Perhaps you've had to navigate a work situation where you've gone through extraordinary circumstances, or you've had to navigate a really challenging surgery in the operating theater, or you've had to navigate and manage a tough project at work. Perhaps you've been on a sports team where you were down by 10 goals and you had to try and work hard to come back to win the grand final. Perhaps you're a soldier or were a soldier and you've had to navigate the adversities of war and turmoil. See, though the challenge is big at times, when you see breakthrough, when you break through those challenges, it's bigger and more powerful. What does breakthrough feel like? The strength that arises that, yes, we did it. Yes, I did it. A sense of camaraderie. Wow, we did that together. A sense of freedom or relief. It's done. We got through it. And a confidence for the future. Yes, we did it once. We can do that again. See, that's what breaking through something can feel like. So what is breakthrough? The dictionary has many different definitions for what breakthrough can look like in many different contexts. Breakthrough can be defined as an action or event that represents the removal of a previously existing obstacle or barrier to progress. A significant development or discovery, or breakthrough can also mean a great success that takes you to a different level. This is normally in reference to a job or profession. See, in the Bible, we see God break through time and time again. As per the definition, we see God removing obstacles and barriers to progress. We see God bringing great discoveries and great successes. Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. If that's not a breakthrough, I don't know what is. David defeating Goliath. Peter and John healing the lame man at the gate beautiful. Breakthrough. Time and time again, we see God breaking through obstacles. David declared God as the master of breakthrough after he sees God giving him success against the Philistines. We see this in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly hand them over to you." So David came to Baal Perazim, and he defeated them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means master of breakthroughs. What a great word, that our God is the master of breakthroughs. See, David was faced with the challenge of the Philistines. It was a real challenge, but he inquired of the Lord. He followed God's direction and he defeated the enemy. David saw God breakthrough in his situation. My friends, as followers of Jesus, we can see God breakthrough in our situation. So what does this breakthrough look like for us today? It could be restoration of health. It could be stepping into a new job. It could be seeing broken relationships restored. It could be seeing situations in your home with your children, with your family broken through. It could be seeing things that have hindered us, that have weighed us down, that have trapped us for so long, being removed, being released. So let's go together and look at a story in the Bible where we see breakthrough happen. If you've got your Bibles with you, you can follow along on the screen. Let's go to Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." So let's picture the scene here. These four men bring a paralyzed man to Jesus. The place is packed. It's like grand final day at the MCG. Packed, no seats left. They decide lowering the man through the roof is the only way to get to Jesus. See, Luke's account here doesn't go through the details, but in Mark's account, it actually says that they had to dig a hole through the roof. Because in those times, roof weren't just tiles and metal. They were actually layers of weeds and twigs and dried mud that actually was hard and salt and had to be broken through. See, it wouldn't have been a decent effort to get through that roof, let alone then string some rope under the mat and lower him down. It was a great obstacle, a challenge they were facing. But their faith was greater than the obstacle. See, faith is trusting and believing that God will do what only he can. It's being convinced and assured that he has got you and relying on him in your circumstances. We see this spoken of in Hebrews 11, where faith is the confidence of what we hope for and being certain of what we do not see. What a powerful faith. Because if you think about it, the reality is it would have been super hard to get him down into the roof, but they had to have believed so strongly that Jesus would heal their friend. Because it would be super, super even more difficult to get him back up. How would you get the leverage to pull him back up? You're going against gravity, trying to pull him up back through that roof. So they had to believe so strongly that the only way that the man was getting out of there was walking. What powerful faith is that, hey? They trusted and were assured that Jesus could and would heal their paralyzed man. See, we read in verse 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It wasn't just the paralyzed man's faith, it was their faith. A powerful collective faith that was based on God working through them. We heard about this from Pastor Nay this morning in the prayer meeting, that the faith was not based on how hard they believed and like clenched everything and was like, "Yes, I believe God's going to do this. I'm going to do this. God will do this." Because that would be based on our works. But it's receiving his faith, his power. And like it says in Hebrews 11:1, being assured and being confident that he will do what he says he will and that he can and will do it in and through us. What an amazing story of faith and breakthrough. But what does this story of breakthrough mean for you and I today? Firstly, breakthrough may involve the help of others. See, sometimes in our crisis or prolonged seasons of struggle and loss, we need other people to help us get our breakthrough. Just like the paralyzed man needed the four men to bring him to Jesus, we may need people to stand with us in faith or practically help us. Interestingly, the story doesn't mention if the paralyzed man asked these four men to help him or whether or not they just saw him there, they knew him and they said, "Hey, let me help you and bring you to Jesus." In our situations, sometimes in our circumstances, help is offered and we may have to receive it. Or sometimes we have to ask for the help. Please hear my heart here. There needs to be wisdom in who we ask for help and who we ask for assistance from. We don't just ask anyone and everyone for their guidance and wisdom. Please hear my heart. I'm also not speaking of codependency, where we always rely on people or need everyone to get everything done. But in times of crisis, when a challenge comes, are you a lone ranger? Do you struggle to ask for help or receive help? Perhaps you've trusted people before and that trust has been broken. Or perhaps you didn't receive help when you needed it in your family of origin. So now you rely on independence, self-reliance, and self-sufficiency. But can I encourage you? Jesus has a better way for you in your breakthrough. Jesus is there for you in your situation. Come to him. He says in John 6, verse 37, "But everyone whom my Father has given to me, they will come. And all who come to me, I will embrace them and never turn them away." He will embrace you and never turn you away. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." When we come to God, we receive his mercy and we find his grace. But what is this grace? The desire and ability to do what he has called you to do. See, I liken this grace to the grace that school teachers have. I have a lot of respect for them because you need to have a tremendous amount of grace to be able to teach students all year round, prepare for lessons, write reports that you look forward to school holidays from the Friday that they come, as we are in now. But see, they've got the grace, the desire and ability to do what God has called them to do to teach. I don't have that grace to be a school teacher. So we receive the grace we need. When we come to God, we receive his mercy. The word for mercy in the Greek here can be translated to mean kindness or providence, which means divine guidance and care. What an amazing truth that the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe wants to show you kindness and give you divine guidance and care for your situation, for your challenge, for the breakthrough you need. Divine guidance and care and to show you kindness. I love how Hebrews 4:16 is described in the Message version. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Take the mercy, accept the help. Sometimes this help can look like coming from people in a practical way. It might be asking a friend, a trusted friend, for practical assistance. Seeing a healthcare professional, booking a pastoral care appointment, speaking to a connect group leader when you're going through stuff. See, a few weeks ago I shared, and I've shared previously, about how I find it hard to, or have found it hard to, and still sometimes do find it hard to ask for and receive help. I recently had to navigate what I could describe as an emotional roller coaster. Ups and downs of life, lots of emotions going through my head. And you know, I had to ask for help in that time, but I still found it a little bit hard to ask for the help. And Holy Spirit revealed another element of this to me of why I find it hard. See, I grew up in a culture where it was important to keep up appearances or put on a good face. You know, being vulnerable that stuff was going on and that you were on this roller coaster of up and down was not really what you wanted to do. You didn't want to be vulnerable with people sharing their problems. There was this fear of being judged or not accepted. There was even a little bit of mistrust on how people would respond if you asked for help. Holy Spirit had to remind me that this is not his truth. That he's put people alongside me in my life to walk out this journey of me, that I can look to them, that I can trust them, and I can look to him as well. See, I spoke to our lead pastors, Pastor Lee and Pastor Naomi, about it. I spoke to a few trusted friends about it as well. And in that time, in that period, the way I describe it is like there was something locked up in my heart, something that needed to be unlocked. And in that moment, it was unlocked. Through trusting people, but also working through it with God, something in my life was unlocked. And the fruit of that is such freedom. The fruit of that is breakthrough and restoration. And as I described to Pastor Lee and Pastor Nay, the fruit of that is that they've described to me is an outpouring of love for people, an outpouring of generosity and care for people. That through that moment of accepting the help, something was unlocked in my life and breakthrough came into my life from that. So my friends, in your crisis, who is God sending to you? Do you recognize when God sends people around you to care for you, to support you? How do you go about asking for help or receiving the help? When crisis comes in and the challenge comes, why is it hard to receive the help? Perhaps you need to go on a journey like I did with Holy Spirit to investigate that thought pattern, to say, what's going on here, Holy Spirit? What are you showing me? What's happening in my life? So can I encourage you, my friends? Take the mercy, accept the help. So from this story of the paralyzed man, we see that sometimes we need people to help us with our breakthrough. Secondly, we see Jesus deals with deeper issues, bringing about breakthrough. The four men brought the man in for healing so he could walk again. Now, I'm sure Jesus could see that the physical need of the paralyzed man, he's being lowered on a mat, he can't walk. But Jesus doesn't say, get up and walk, you're healed. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. My friends, Jesus looked beyond what was needed physically. The others could help the paralyzed man to Jesus, but Jesus was the only one who could deal with the deeper issues in his life. See, in that time, sickness or disability was ostracizing, isolating you and causing you to carry shame. There was a pattern of thinking that sickness or disability were the direct effect of sin. Jesus addresses this in front of the religious leaders who were there that day. He calls the man son, or another version, friend. He restores him to relationship. He declares that his sins are forgiven, that his past no longer counts against him. So what does this mean for you and I today? There are some things that people can help us around it, that we can accept the help and receive the help for. But there are some things that you need to go to Jesus to, that only he can work through. See, like the paralyzed man, we may carry things that we feel ostracizes us. We heard about this from Trenton Communion, that we may feel that our past or even our present, the things we have done or the things we do, disqualifies us or prevents us from receiving the forgiveness and redemptive work of Jesus. So we resign ourselves to our situation, our challenge, and our circumstances, thinking, oh, well, this is the only way it's meant to be. And we live in these patterns of guilt, shame, and condemnation. But can I encourage you, my friends, that is not the truth for you this morning. That is not the truth for you today. Our forgiveness, our redemption is not based on our own merit or goodness. It is based on his love. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. Jesus' redemptive work at the cross made a way for your breakthrough and made a way for my breakthrough. Romans 5 verses 1 to 2 says, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have our peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into a place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. What an amazing promise. What amazing promises that you and I can stand upon. We have been made right with God, like we heard a few weeks ago, Pastor Lee taught us about righteousness. We can stand in undeserved privilege. I love that. That we know that he loves us, he will lead us, he will guide us, he will protect us, he will provide for us, like Pastor Nay spoke about in our giving this morning. See, even when things are shaken around us, even when things are stirred around us, we will be unshaken. Yes, we may feel unsettled in times of turmoil, but we're not like immune to things that happen in the world. Yet we can walk in confidence and assurance. See, that verse that says we look forward to sharing God's glory, in the Amplified, it means, or it's translated to, the manifestation of his excellence and power. In your circumstance, we can look with confidence, assurance, and joy that we will see the manifestation of his excellence and his power. His breakthrough is there for you. Yes, there may be a journey of restoration, reconciliation that you need to go on. It may involve asking for forgiveness. It may involve forgiving others. It may involve working through some tough things, traumas and hurts of the past with a professional. But my friends, can I encourage you? You're not alone in this. We're all on this journey together, working through our stuff so that we can discover who God is. We can discover greater levels of freedom, his life that he has for us, the abundant life he has for us, and his goodness. See, because the best part of this story is, on the other side of being confronted with those deeper issues, the paralyzed man received his miraculous breakthrough. Let's read from verse 24 to 26. But I want you to know, this is Jesus speaking, that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. The paralyzed man received his breakthrough that day. The same goes for you and I today, my friends, that on the other side of being confronted with the deeper issues, you and I too can receive our miraculous breakthrough. See, there was a time in my life I was a bit like the paralyzed man. About 8 years ago, I had unhealthy habits around exercise and around nutrition. You know, I got so obsessed with being healthy and being fit that I was actually physically unhealthy in my body. Like the paralyzed man, I was physically unhealthy. But see, the issue wasn't the fact that I was physically unhealthy per se. There was a deeper issue of hurt, of unforgiveness, of unresolved offense in my life. The roots were rooted in that unforgiveness, but the fruit was the unhealthy habit. God took me on this journey of working through those deeper things, those deeper hurts. Hey, it was hard at times. It was painful. There were times I wanted to give it up. I cried a lot. I tend to cry a lot. But through all that pain, through all working through those deep roots, he brought breakthrough to my life. Those hurts and those pains and those offenses, the unforgiveness was removed from my life. Through removing that, the roots were removed, and the fruit of that was that I was able to walk in freedom. That yes, I'm still passionate about health, about fitness, but in a healthy way. I'm no longer bound by that because the root of the problem, the deeper issue of unforgiveness, of offense, of unresolved hurts was worked through. My friends, this isn't something that's unique to just me. God wants to bring you to your breakthrough. God wants to bring you to a wide open space, a place of freedom, a place of healing. Psalm 18 verse 19 says, "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." In the Passion Translation, it says, "His love broke open the way and he brought me into a beautiful, broad place. He rescued me because he delights in me." And I truly believe that's a word for someone today, whether you're watching live, whether you're here in the room or watching at a later time, that God's love broke open a way for you. He's bringing you to a wide open place. He has rescued you because he delights in you. So my friend, would you go on the journey with Jesus of working through the deeper issues so you can see breakthrough in your circumstances? So sometimes we need others for our breakthrough. Sometimes we need to work through the deeper issues and Jesus bring about breakthrough. But my friends, can I encourage you that your breakthrough impacts others too? In Luke 5:26, we read that everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." My friends, the paralyzed man received his breakthrough that day, but the impact went way beyond him. The people there witnessed the remarkable power of God. They were amazed in awe, giving praise to God. The paralyzed man's breakthrough impacted them. See, in those days, there wasn't live streams, there wasn't social media. So people had to speak to one another when they saw something amazing happen. You know, imagine the people in the crowd told their friends, told their family, told their neighbors, told everyone around them about what Jesus had done. These people, their neighbors, their family, then told others, who then went and told others again. And so it was passed on. The breakthrough that occurred that day was passed on from person to person, generation to generation, accounted for in the Bible today, and here we are speaking of it today. How amazing is that? That one man's breakthrough, through the mighty power of Jesus, had an impact for generations to come. So what does this mean for you and I today? Your breakthrough has an impact for those around you today and for generations to come in the future. Your breakthrough will see others walk in revelation and in truth. Those people received revelation of God's power. They were praising him. Your breakthrough will see things that hindered you and maybe have hindered your family thrown off. Maybe there's patterns of thinking or behavior that have been part of your family for years, for generations. But as you receive your breakthrough, as you work through those deeper issues, those things are broken for you, for your family, and for future generations. Thank you. So as I wrap up this morning, what areas might you need to break through in your life? Perhaps it's in a family situation. Perhaps it's in a broken relationship. Perhaps it's in work, in study. Maybe it's working through deeper issues. Maybe it's having those weights that have hindered you or held you down for so many years removed. Whatever it may look like, my friends, let's walk towards breakthrough together. In a moment, we're going to take a time to reflect on this. But before we do that, I would first love to give the invitation to anyone, either here in the room or watching online, who doesn't know Jesus personally, to come to know him personally. See, the paralyzed man encountered Jesus that day. The paralyzed man encountered his love and forgiveness. A powerful love, a love that Trent spoke about in communion. And you can too. God's love and redemptive work and Jesus' redemptive work at the cross made a way for your breakthrough so that you and I could be restored to right relationship with him. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So in a moment, we're going to say a prayer and the church will join in saying that prayer. And if that's you, if you don't yet know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, but you want to come to him, you want to receive that love, can I invite you to pray this prayer with us? It's as simple as praying a prayer and saying you want to follow him. So let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you went to the cross so I could come to right relationship with you. I declare with my mouth today that Jesus, you are Lord, and I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead, and therefore I am saved. I ask you to be Lord of my life. I turn away from my past life and I turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or as a prayer of recommitment, what an amazing decision you have made today. But this is just the first step of your journey. It's the start of an amazing journey that we're all on of following Jesus. So for more information, we want to equip you and we want to support you and come alongside you in this journey. You can go to gc.org.au/first steps for more information.